Hi, this is Jane Emerald. You're listening to Life Autistic. And I am... You know, I'm not talking about so much Polynesia on this one. I am talking about conjunction. When things come together. This has happened to me a few times. And I can't but think that at some future date, I will have what I refer to as the Great Conjunction, where everything comes together. Where all of a sudden, all the inspiration, all of the things that I've done, that I felt led to do, will all suddenly make sense, will all suddenly become very clear. And, you know, I don't know if that is just a basic definition of finally understanding Heavenly Father, God's love for us, that sometimes is difficult to see. I don't know if that ends up being the moment when you know that things are, that you're on the road and you're not deviating from it, and you're moving forward at a pretty good clip toward the ultimate goal, being like Heavenly Father, being able to be like Him and to have the things that He has. Okay. I talked to my brother Joe yesterday. He's got an exciting opportunity to go and teach accounting in Hawaii. And we talked for a long time. I think I ended up just saying a whole lot. I think he wanted to say a bunch, and then it ended up that I was kind of dominating things, and I hope that doesn't offend him or make him upset. I live in a world where I lecture a ton, so it's sometimes hard for me to stifle my own, you know, my direct connection from my, and my unbuffered connection between my brain and my mouth anymore, and how, you know, that flows. Sometimes I have to shut myself up so I can hear what people are saying, integrate into what I'm saying. And I think I upset Steve because they say, Jay, you're not listening. And he goes, and I think I am. I'm not sure I am. I mean, Lisa accuses me of this sometimes. Probably oftentimes. She's probably just being kind not to say it. And I think she treats me like talk radio. It's something that kind of goes on in the background. And she picks up bits and pieces of it. You know? And there's this... What was I saying? I was really getting to a point, and then I kind of went off on the tangent side. Oh, I'm always integrating what people are telling me into my own private, ongoing, universal research. You know, if nothing else, you can say Jay is God's gift to research, because I do. But I'm willing to go into esoteric things and to see, does that work? Because you can go and you can look and you can see things that work that can't be explained by science, that don't seem to make any sense why they would work, but yet they do. When I was talking before about Polynesians, they are an example. They are an example of people that just, that things just work, and they're totally, it's totally foreign to our experience. You know, things that they do shouldn't work, and yet they do. The things that they get away with, nobody else is allowed to get away with, but they can get away with it. And they take advantage of it. It is good for them, because we need that. We need that kind of, for lack of a better term, magic. More than anything else. Anyway, So I talked to Joe about that. Then this morning, just in a real casual, just kind of a little bit of a conversation, at the end, you know, she was dropping off Shayna from seminary. I was running out the door to go get busy at work. Of course, my kids were all screaming at me, Dad, go to work! Mom says, go to work! Quit fooling around! Go to work! And it's like, shut up, there's important things going on here. My mom was telling me about her conversation with my brother, and it was very different from the one I had. She got insights from Joe that he didn't give to me, although it wasn't that he was trying to you know, he was trying to be deceitful. I don't perceive that, because some of the things he was saying was kind of like that. And when I was, after I talked to Joe, I thought about, guy, accountancy and Polynesian, this is totally different. Joe comes from a world of suits and ties and doing, you know, and doing all these things, you know, very, very Western, very successful. This is how you dress for success and stuff like that. And that stuff doesn't apply where he's going. And I found, and I was thinking that, and then my mom said the first thing he had to do is he had to get a flowery shirt, a Hawaiian type shirt. And I was saying, oh, that was just what I was thinking of. I was just, and I'm not saying that to be cocky, never. Because I'm sorry, impressions and these inspirations come from God, and I will always give him credit for them, always. Or I'll try to. If I stop doing it, you know, may I repent. But it's almost like, well, no, it's not the flowery shirt. You don't want to look like a tourist. This is not about being a tourist. This is about honoring the culture that's there, not seeking to, like some colonial power, seeking to stomp out what's there and replace it with what's obviously better, my culture. I think back, strangely enough, I don't know why it brings to mind Disney movies, but it does. Pocahontas was not terribly successful as a movie because some of the concepts that they were dealing with were alien and foreign and strange to us, and we didn't, you know, some people like to look at white people as villains, and I don't think they expect to be villains, and I don't think they are villains particularly, but they do have this interesting idea that they're superior, and that everything should, you know, that when you have civilization, it looks a certain way. It looks like, you know, stick frame or brick built buildings with square edges and cobblestone or paved asphalt or brick streets and all these things, and that these things aren't the essence of anything. You know, apparently people think that cobblestones got us to computers. You know, there might have been two or three other ways to get to computers. I don't know. And I'm not denigrating our society and our culture, or lack thereof, but to say that in the midst of this incredible drive to make all this stuff happen, in a lot of ways we've lost something that Polynesians haven't lost yet. But the problem is they're in the midst of losing it. They're in the midst of losing it. I've seen Polynesians who are totally acculturated, and, you know, they end up being second-class citizens, and you go, no, there's beautiful, wonderful, magnificent things about you, and you don't let that go. I still think about those missionaries on my mission. Don't lose that. I feel like in a lot of ways, both East and West have lost something. And it's a miracle. It's a miraculous thing. I think the churches need to have, like the Polynesian Cultural Center, is a response to the fact that we don't want to lose what they are. Their magic, their spirit. It's something that almost all the rest of the world has lost, and we want to preserve them as much as we can. So when Joe listens to these recordings, and I'll point them at them, be careful. Honor them. And I hope that BYU is able to communicate that. And I'm sure they tried. You know, this is a much more laid-back lifestyle. You need to lose some of your inherent, you know, wackiness. you know, the kind of our wacky, frantic culture that we have here. Always have to be, look like you're busy, you know. Jesus is looking, look busy, you know. Jesus coming, look busy type stuff. And you're going, you don't have to worry about that there. They only have a little bit of that, and you can feel free not to be that way. And take it. You know, my brother was talking about, oh, what kind of a house he thinks he could afford there because houses are so expensive. And the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, most of the people in Hawaii are going to have less money than my brother has. A lot of them will. And he needs to look at how they live and say, I need to live closer to what they live. You know, when he goes, Joe, when you go, maybe I'm talking to Joe directly, when you go, I would almost say, don't go with the intent to buy a house. Put your money aside, put it into a bank account or something. Don't touch it. See if you can arrange to live with a family. You know, a good LDS family in Hawaii. Not Haoles. You want them to be Polynesian. Somebody willing to take you in. These are very generous people. And I'm, you know, and I know you come from a culture that says don't take advantage of it. Ignore that. Ignore that natural need within you to do that. Don't go there. Accept the generosity. Ask for it. It will be offered, I would imagine. And live as guests for a bit. I don't know the length of time. Live as guests for a bit. I think it will help immensely with the transition of everybody to a different world. A culture where you can stay a guest, but you want to, if you're going to live there, you want to be an you want to become a part of it. Now, you're not going to all of a sudden get a dark skin and become a Polynesian. You know, that's not going to happen. But you want to be a respected, loved friend of the people that you're working with. You know, not buddy-buddy type stuff, but, you know, your peers are the people of your age, the people of that have kids your age that are going through the same similar life experience you have, just people from a different culture, those, you need to be respected and loved and valued among those people. My mom also talked about the fact that a lot of Chinese, mainland Chinese, come to Hawaii to learn about, you know, strangely enough, American ways. Hawaii is that conjunction. You know how I named this whole podcast conjunction? That's what it is. But you have to understand, it's not the wonderful power of it is not the conjunction of East and West. The fact that it is an American possession. Now it's called a state, but it really is kind of a conquered American possession. And it has a lot of Eastern influence. A lot of Japanese, a lot of Chinese are coming there. You know, people who are seeking for freedom, they often go through Hawaii to thinking that they're going to go on. But there is the conjunction of that third thing. And I think that third thing becomes the very spirit of the matter, the Polynesian thing. You know, why is the church pour tithing money into the Polynesian Cultural Center? Because, you know, if nothing else, you know, Salt Lake City may very well be the administrative center of the church, but I'm sorry, the Polynesian Cultural Center, I think, is the heart of the church, is the heart of the gospel. Because to a bean counter sensibilities, why are we doing this? Why do we do something that really isn't specifically tied to the gospel? You know, why are we taking what seems like a tangent from, like, missionary work, for instance, into doing kind of a Polynesian theme park? Why? Because it's the heart. It's the very heart of what being a child of God is. The Polynesians have it, and we're trying hard to preserve it because they've got it, and everyone else flounders. People who have been Mormons for generations flounder, trying, are not trying. It just doesn't seem, you know, it doesn't mesh with our backgrounds very well. But the Polynesian world, it does. They grabbed on to the gospel, Mormonism, and it's a part of their skin. It's a part of their muscle and their sinew, everything. It's a part of the whole thing. And when you see it, you go, oh my gosh! Because I've been to a few other places, and Mormonism looks different in other places. It adapts a little bit to what it is. Other religions tend to try and make those things, you know, when Christian missionaries back in the 1800s went to Africa, they came to not convert them just to Christianity, but to convert them to what was considered to be the better Western lifestyle. That's why we didn't have a problem forcing them into slavery, was because, you know, these guys were obviously barbarians, savages, subhuman, at least to Christian Western eyes. And that's why it's so important. We have to keep that culture going, the things that happen. That soul of the Polynesian said, and that's the magic. I don't know how it... I've seen how it works on Paulies. It's just attractive. We're attracted to everything Polynesian. Once we get some exposure to it, we're attracted to it like flies to honey. I don't know how it is for Chinese or Japanese. I don't know. I know a few Japanese people that are Hawaiians, and they seem pretty happy. Of course, it could be that whole laid-back thing, and I know that's difficult given our laid-back, you know, our very tense, crazy, frantic culture that we've developed in the West that isn't there. And you almost have to do it. So, Joe, and I'll speak to Joe again, Joe, it's going to be a difficult transition because of the guilt level that you're probably going to have of, I need to be doing more than what I'm doing. And I'm sure that they will look at you and say, there's that Holly running around like a maniac. He hasn't learned to calm down, to let it flow, to let things happen. Because when you let things happen, God can touch you. If you're not frantically trying to fill every single second, that's part of dampening God. God can't talk to you if you're so, you know, if you're so wrapped up in I gotta do this, I gotta do that. My mind is full of all these things. I find that I'm more laid back, but I find that my time isn't wasted. You know, people say, all he does is think. He's just philosophizing all the time. And you go, but this has become so useful to me, and I've come to value it so much, I don't want to let it go. Even though people will say, you just seem really lazy. You're a lazy person. And it's like, that's a weird concept that I don't subscribe to particularly. I know that the scriptures speak of idleness, but I don't consider what I'm doing idle. We've kind of gotten idle down with lazy, you know. You need to be working and struggling and going at it all day long. You need to fall into your bed exhausted. I fight with this because that comes from my culture, a culture of you need to be going, working. And as I get away from that, I find my biggest effort is having to try to fight guilt. And I don't know what the Polynesian take on this, but I just know they're much more laid back, much more easygoing. I'm not saying that they don't accomplish things. They do accomplish things. They accomplish amazing things. But it isn't strictly speaking through what we would consider to be work. We look at it and we say, they're just playing around. They're just fooling around. They're just throwing around sticks that are lit on fire, and it looks all cute and wonderful, and isn't that great? And you go, this is life. I think back, Yo, I remember reading a short little essay by a guy named Robert Fulghum. He had popularity for maybe about a year, year and a half, perhaps. And his big book, the one everybody remembers, was called Everything I Needed to Know About Life I Learned in Kindergarten. And I don't know if it was in that book or in the second book he did, which was much less popular. But he was teaching a story about a person, about a tribe. Now, I think he was making a... This is fiction, you know. This is not a description of a real place. He had always thought about a tribe where somebody... if you wanted to, you could polish a stick. And if you polished a stick and it met the muster of this group, you would have everything given to you. You know, you wouldn't have to work anymore. You wouldn't have to labor. They would bring your food. You would have housing provided. All these things. You know, and he was saying, you know, I would love to be in a world where that was true, where somehow that could happen. And I'm sorry. I think, now that's not how, you know, in Polynesia, it's not about sticks. But something like being able to do the traditional dances the best, about being the great singer, were of just as much value as going out and doing anything else. I guess you could put it toward being like a government official. We tend to give tax money, and they tend to live off that tax money. Of course, you could say, oh, that's hideous and horrible and nasty. And you go, but you know, we seem to value those people to the point to where we provide for their living. And, you know, we provide houses for them. You know, through money, we give enough money and they can provide housing for themselves. Sometimes they just get housing. I think about college presidents who have a college president's residence. And I always thought that was funny because this is usually the guy that was the best paid person on campus. How come he gets a free house? And he usually gets a university-owned car that he doesn't have to pay for. And sometimes he gets free gas, too. And you wonder, why is that? And you go, because I don't know. But this can happen. Now, I'm not saying this is what Joe needs to be shooting for. You know, this is what he needs to be doing. But just to shine a light on different cultures, different ways of being, and that we don't need to be all invested. J. Nemroz wrote, to heaven isn't because we kill ourselves honoring Western culture. I've seen other people, and I look at them, and I go, they can go to heaven. I look at liberals, and I'm not a liberal person. I am a conservative-leaning libertarian. But I've looked at liberals who are good people, who have the best intentions in their hearts, and I think they're just as likely to get to the celestial kingdom as I am. And when that happens, you know, and I know a whole bunch of people say, they shouldn't be here. Good guy, they're liberals. Liberals are evil. And you go, no, they were just, they just had a different take on things than you did. You decided they were evil and they couldn't be the wonderful things you are. But that's because of weird cultural attitudes. It's not anything to do with that. And that's when I started to open my eyes and say, wait, you know, people from other cultures, you know, pygmies in Africa can be the kind of people they are. I mean, they can't worship false gods, they can't disobey God's commandments, but how many of the commandments that were given are given predominantly to our culture to try to prevent us from falling into traps that our culture has laid, you know, traps people in? Is that what a lot of those are? And that's why when I was on my mission and these Polynesian guys would always be breaking the rules, but nobody stopped them, because they were baptizing fools, because that was the real ultimate value, you know. What's important here, keeping the rules or baptizing people into salvation? And we, you know, and even our culture, we're taught it's keeping those rules. Keeping those rules leads to baptism. And that's more true for our culture, but when the Polynesians walked in, they almost had a different set of rules that they were somehow exempt from these things. Anyway, I'm to my destination. I've got to close this thing up. I still don't feel like I'm really getting to where I need to be. I don't feel like I'm telling the crux of what I'm thinking. And I hope to get there. This is often the problem with my recordings. I don't really get there. This is Jay Nemro. This is episode number 625, Met My Destination. I'll come back and talk again at the other end. Have a good day.